It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Waka waka, who wants to hear a funny ass joke?
Hello, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. Thank you, Melissa, for that. And we have a blog. And you can check out our blog at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Man who with the Family Guy soundbite fetish, that's yep. Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And in studio with me, it's chock full. I think we had too many women one week, and now we have too many guys, and that's really okay. We have actor Robert Neal, who is in IRT's production of I Love to Eat.
Correct.
And good research.
You are right, sir.
Thanks, Ed. Yeah. And we have Ray Mills, the artistic director of the Heartland Film Festival. Tim Irwin, program director of Truly Moving Pictures Award Program. Because guess what? It's Heartland season.
Woo!
Woo! Party! So good to have you guys here, man. All right, I want to get through the new stuff fairly quickly, and because we have guests and we want them to talk about their things and their work. Oh, by the way, go Tigers. Thank you. A Yankee loss is a great thing. I'm very happy about that. Kobe doesn't care. A Detroit sports fan who's happy is misery in Kobe's world. Sorry. Anyway, back to the film show. Opening today, Machine Gun Preacher, or just... I'm serious, that's what it's called. It's not Hobo with a Shotgun. It's not Machete. It's an actual title. It's Machine Gun Preacher or The Curious Case of Gerard Butler's Career. We also have Flying Monsters, which is being shown at IMAX. But we're going to start things off with The Ides of March, the latest from George Clooney, who is producing, directing, co-writing, and starring. Now, he's not the star. That's Ryan Gosling. And
sort of a Tommy Wiseau of sorts.
You think George Clooney is the Tommy Wiseau of Hollywood? Is that what you're saying?
No, only Tommy Wiseau is the Tommy Wiseau of Hollywood.
Just checking.
Yep.
Because, as you know, WFYI and Film Sociology is your home for all things Tommy Wiseau.
That is
and
correct.
The Room. So we might need to actually check if there's a new blog from Mr. Wiseau.
Yep,
Tommy Explains It All. Why don't you check that? That's why you're on that chair,
yep.
And I'm over here. Mm-hmm. Now, can I get back to George Clooney?
Do it.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's called The Ides of March, and Gosling plays a man who works for a presidential candidate, and guess what? There might be some shaky things going on in politics.
No. Come
yes.
on.
I'm telling you. That's what the movie says. Play the audio. You'll see.
Okay. Here we go.
You okay?
We're going to be fine. We have to do it. It's the right thing to do, and nothing bad happens when you're doing the right thing.
Is this your personal theory? Because I can shoot holes in it.
Well, there's exceptions to every rule. Who's this?
Tom Duffy.
You got a couple of minutes? I'd like to sit down with you.
I can't be talking to you.
You got something the other guys don't have. You exude something. You draw people in.
You're the big man on campus. I'm just a lowly intern.
What time you got work tomorrow?
9 a.m.
I thought I was being smooth and subtle.
No, you're pretty forward.
You have an idea how to tie a tie.
No, not a clue.
Man, you got the best media mind in the country. All the reporters love you.
If your boy wins, you get a job in the White House. He loses, you're back at a consulting firm.
I've worked on more campaigns than most people have by the time they're 40. He's the only one that's going to actually make a difference in people's lives.
Either we're going to lead the world or we are going to bury our heads in the sand.
You're my brain trust.
So how are we doing?
What do you think, Stevie?
I think it's ours to the taking.
You are working for the wrong man.
I want you to work for us.
Paul's my friend.
There's only one thing I value in this world, and that's loyalty. Without it, you're nothing.
You want to work for the friend, or do you want to work for the president?
I don't have to play dirty anymore. I got Morris.
Today marks the beginning of a fight between two sets of ideals.
If you get Thompson's endorsement, the race is over.
What does he want?
Cabinet post.
I'm never going to do it. I said I wasn't going to make those kind of deals.
Paul.
I met with Tom Duffy yesterday.
What?
I just didn't think he was...
Oh, it doesn't matter what you thought. It matters what you did. It matters what you didn't do.
I'm in. I'm coming to work for you.
Revenge makes people unpredictable. We can't have that.
What if I had something else?
Like what?
Something big.
Next president of the United States of America, Governor Mike Morris.
You really want this story getting out?
Dignity matters.
You were off the campaign, but you thought it was important to fix things.
Integrity matters. Our future depends on it.
Steven, don't do this.
I'll do or say anything if I believe in it, but I have to believe in the cause.
Because this is a George Clooney movie, and I don't think Tommy Wiseau could get this cast, but I think when you get a call from Mr. Clooney saying, would you like to be in my film, you just say yes. That's all there is to it. Ryan Gosling, Evan Rachel Wood, Marissa Tomei, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Paul Giamatti, Jeffrey Wright, and Clooney himself. Not a bad bunch.
He said that on Charlie Rose last night, he said they all take percentage, so none of them get paid up front, and it only costs like $16 million or less than that, maybe. $12 million.
Smart move. And that's how he does it. Clooney's got a good reputation of being a pretty fast director, and of course he gave us Good Night and Good Luck and Leatherheads, so I think, yeah, smart filmmaking on his end. I got a feeling it might make it back. It might make the money back. Yeah. And of course, this is the third film for Mr. Gosling in a matter of 4 months, I think. So between Crazy Stupid Love and right now, my odds-on favorite from my favorite film of 2011, Drive. The problem with the film for me is that it doesn't really bring any surprises. As I said before the trailer, gee, it involves politicians and shady movings. Never happens in politics. Never, never, never. And of course, Clooney is playing. And by the way, there's a little bit of non-subtlety in this, and I hate to say this because I loved Good Night and Good Luck, and yeah, I was actually one of those that liked Leatherheads, even though people didn't want to see a screwball comedy from George Clooney. But he plays the politician, and guess what? His campaign logo looks a lot like one from a certain politician in 2008, with the looks and the colors and the strike. You know what I'm saying? So there's some moments in that, and I don't know if Clooney was trying to do a 70s political film like the Candidate or All the President's Men. You know, I would say bully for him on that. But unless you've not followed politics at all, there's really going to be no surprises for you whatsoever on this, despite having a really good cast. And everybody in it is rock solid. You can hear David Edelstein's review of it next after this show on Fresh Air. There's some stuff he says about Paul Giamatti and Philip Seymour Hoffman, which I wish I could use, but I would be Carlos Mencina. I don't want to do that. but looks wise, acting wise, it's fine. So if you want to go to watch an exercise in acting, you may do so. Just don't expect any surprises whatsoever. And if you haven't seen the trailer for this yet, don't. Because it's one of those trailers where, as I'm watching it, I'm like, hey, that clip hasn't showed up yet. And because you know that clip hasn't shown up yet, you know part of which is how things are going to turn out. It's not a complete, utter giveaway. It's not real steel, which we'll get to in a moment. But it's like, hey, that shot hasn't happened yet. So, if you're in Politics 101, have at it. Enjoy it. But for the rest of us, it's going to be a little bit of a letdown.
If we combine the clips with what you just told us, we don't need to see the movie.
Kind of, but if you're fans of any of those actors,
that's why we're here.
That's right, because my mantra is I see films so you don't have to. Yeah. And you guys are busy. I mean, you got stuff going on right now. So, Kobe, here's what I thought of.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
But it's better compared to the next one we're going to talk about, Real Steel. From the director who brought us A Night at the Museum and the man who brought us Australia. No, he didn't bring it. He was just a part of it. But it stars Hugh Jackman, and he's a ex-fighter now turned Burgess Meredith for robots. And it's, but it's not Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Everybody's already made that joke online because of Transformers. But it's shorter than Transformers, and it's not directed by Michael Bay. It's directed by the guy who gave us Night at the Museum. So play this.
Charlie, where is my money?
Buddy, I got your money. It's right here. Oh, good. But
Charlie, you're
losing your belt.
Wait, Charlie, hey. I can't hear what you're saying.
What was he like? As a boxer? Charlie was the top contender, number two in the world. Then the fight game changed. I'm coming with you.
No, you're not.
I'm either coming with you or you're fishing for your keys in the sewer.
Oh, my God, that was close.
Whoa!
Stubborn kid.
This ain't a video game. This is for real. Let's make some money!
I just need a little loan.
As much as I like you, dude, you're a bad bet, brother.
Give it up, Charlie. You got nothing left.
What are we looking for?
Anything I could use to put a fighting robot together.
I think there's a whole robot in there.
Never seen anything like it before. Can we get him a fight?
He's a sparring bot, built to take a lot of hits, but never dishing out any real punishment.
His name is Adam. Get him a fight.
You know you're bringing him home in pieces, right?
Whoa, whoa, whoa! He's smaller and weaker. He's gonna get his ass kicked.
I need you to teach him to box.
Are you kidding me?
You know this fight game inside and out. He needs your moves, your commands.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
I know I've done all kinds of wrong by this kid. I just like to do one thing right.
Right uppercut!
Great fight, fellas.
Remember this name, Adam.
Adam!
This bot is one to watch.
I'm trying to see a better side to you here, Charlie.
It's not easy.
Can we?
We'll see.
Crashes and guitars and things and metal sounds.
And this film is produced by Steven Spielberg. So we have the robot fighting movie, and then of course we have the dad, the deadbeat, terrible dad that wants to reconcile with his son. So basically, Steven Spielberg wanted to remake Over the Top. Really?
Over the Top.
You wanted to remake the Sylvester Stallone arm wrestling movie, but instead of arm wrestling, you have fighting robots. Ladies and gentlemen, think of all of the bad movie cliches that come from fight films. You know, Rocky V, IV, Tough Enough, Over the Top. They're in this. They are in this. This is the film that's supposed to be set in the future, but the only thing future about it are the robots, cars, technology. Okay, there's the iPads, I guess, so the things can fight. That's fine. You got the fighting system. Now, I need to watch the original Rocky because I'm sure, and I need to chisel this down a little bit because, you know, Don King, maybe he would have let Apollo fight Rocky because it was our nation's birthday in 1976. Maybe. But in this film, and I'm really not giving anything away, but when you have one professional fight and you challenge the champion for a title bout and you get it?
That's the real one.
I want Robot Raging Bull. I want a robot guy saying that says, you know what, you got to do a few fights. And then when it's a title shot, you're Terry Malloy. It's not your night.
Right.
You got to take the dive for the short money. No. We get that in there. And, jeez. And I'm sorry. The kid's obnoxious, too. I forget that kid. If you're being...
It's not Ricky Schroeder.
No, it's not Ricky Schroeder. But you know what? If they had a champ-like ending and he cried, I'd still say forget this kid. Yeah, he's obnoxious. Right. And there's a big move where he's teaching the robot how to dance. Because you know what? Dancing robots are funny. Yeah. Dancing robots are like fat men falling down and going boom.
Do they go, yeah, boy?
No, this is not the second Transformers film thing. God, it's just everything. Oh, by the way, the crowd that turns on the fighters faster than the Russian crowd in Rocky IV, they're here. Apparently they went to some junkyard dog fight that's going on in a zoo. And we were talking earlier, and I think it's universe. I want to say it's universe. We like Hugh Jackman.
He's terrific.
He's a really
good actor.
When he picks good material,
he needs the money.
My goodness. You know? Yeah, we were hoping he was a victim of some Nicolas Cage Ponzi scheme. But look at Kobe. Go on IMDb. What has
I've
he
got
done
it right now?
What has he done
lately?
Since no, started X-Men.
Start at X-Men.
And he was good at X-Men. We like him as Wolverine, not in his own film, but we liked him as Wolverine in the X-Men series, right?
X-Men in 2000, 2001, Someone Like You, Swordfish, Kate and
Leopold. Whoa, slow down. Someone Like You does the Ashley Judd romantic comedy. Nobody saw it. Swordfish, that's Halle Berry's $500,000 money shot. No, not a good film. Yeah, go on.
Kate and Leopold.
It was okay. That was in the early stages of Meg Ryan fish lips. Okay.
Oh my God.
Am I wrong?
X2.
Yeah, it was a sequel. We talked about that.
Standing Room Only, Making the Grade, that. Van Helsing, The London
Assignment. Van Helsing was god awful. You know what? Peter Cushing was never that dashing as the long haired, hat wearing Indiana Jones vampire killer. That was awful. Go on.
Stories of Lost Souls.
Don't remember that.
X-Men, The Official Game. It's a video game.
No, we don't review video games. Yep. Roger Ebert gets angry if you do that.
All right. X-Men, The Last Stand. Scoop.
Oh, yeah, it was. Well, he asked.
Oh, my God.
He worked with Woody Allen. Remember with Scarlett Johansson?
I had to walk out of the room. I had to turn that one off.
See,
it was horrible.
It's one thing to walk out of a living room. If it's the theater, it's another thing. But
I left my house.
You left your house.
I left the county. No, I just.
You're
I was
not
so
a lineman for the county.
But you know what? Midnight in Paris is good. It was a return to form for Woody. So
yeah, I agree with that. But that was enough. I mean, you can't blame Hugh Jackman for that. He got a call from Woody Allen.
Who would say no?
And it's in England.
It was terrible. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So go on.
The Fountain.
Oh, the Darren Aronofsky film nobody saw. We'll get to work on that.
The Prestige.
Love The Prestige. Yes, that's Christopher Nolan with Christian Bale. Really enjoyed that. So
is that the one where he yelled at the sound guy?
No, that's T3. Oh, but that, okay. You know what? Every time there's a Christian Bale film, instead of trailers, we play that.
Exactly.
Okay, what else after The Prestige?
Happy Feet.
Oh, he was a voice in Happy Feet.
Yep.
Dancing Penguins, whatever. Go on.
Viva Laughlin TV
series.
Oh,
that was the musical TV series that was canceled after one episode.
Wow.
He was Nicky Fontana.
Thank you.
Uncle Johnny.
Don't know that one.
I've never heard of any of these.
Deception.
Oh, that was the one with Ewan McGregor. Nobody saw that.
Australia.
A fun 2-hour romp. Australia. The problem is it's 3 hours, and it's from Baz Luhrmann.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Didn't like Wolverine.
X-Men First Class.
He's got a cameo in that. It's actually pretty good. And we're caught up.
Snowflower and the Secret Fan of 2011.
Oh, that's right. He was in that, and nobody saw that either.
Well, he works a lot. Anyway.
He does. Well, no.
He's really good, but, you know.
You mentioned you saw him do Curly in Oklahoma.
He was great.
So, yeah, he did that. He did the musical on Peter Allen. And it would be these are huge blanket accusations. But, I mean, if you were doing musicals on Broadway, so, you know, you have to make up the money and pay for the rent by doing these movies, I can understand that. But you haven't done a musical in a while.
And he's got the famous YouTube with the cell phone. He and Daniel Craig doing that two-person play.
That's more fun than Real Steel.
It's really
More and shorter, by the way. So, and I guess you want to bring this up because you have IMDb.
What?
You mentioned Les Mis.
Oh, no, we're still rolling here.
Oh, we're still rolling?
Yeah.
Snowflower
and the Secret Fan.
We talked about that.
Butter. Of 2011.
Yeah, that's coming up. Oh, that's not the making of Last Tango in Paris.
Get the butter. Yeah.
Is that...
Love that.
And finally caught up Real Steel.
Yeah. It's just, and you know what? This happens. This is one of those films in which, of course, I trash and people in the audience cheered because it's just every boxing cliche. So apparently nobody has seen a boxing movie or a fight movie, or they just don't care.
A robot punches a raging bull, though. I mean, that's something.
Tell me. I would see that. Wouldn't you see Scorsese making that in 3D?
I would go watch that.
with Nicholas Costantino from the late actor from Cheers.
Cheers, yeah.
It was scary in that film. But no, it just really bummed me out that they... And I know Over the Top is from 1987, but obviously it still burns in my psyche, which is why I'm bringing it up now. So, yeah, big disappointment. And I saw a couple weeks ago, and this should have been a red flag, but Hugh Jackman made a cameo on a WWE event.
Wow.
Where he was ringside for some wrestler, and of course he knocked somebody out.
Excellent.
So I'm like, that's who he's promoting the film for. Okay, all right, I got that. It's not me. It's not. So... Kobe, I think I'm out of breath. So why don't you hit the audio?
No, 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 No! No, 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 no!
It's dumb.
That was Sir Ben Kingsley and then Joe Shearer talking about it. Now, side story. I actually do have one involving Over the Top, and this is part of the reason why it's burned in my psyche besides the film being so bad. But I remember seeing it. I was in high school, and it was – I don't know if they do these anymore. I don't think they do, but they do the sneak preview double feature where you get to see a film in advance – and you get also get, you know, and it's lumped with another film from that studio that's currently in theaters. Well, they did that with this one. Now we get the advanced screenings, but, you know, double features like double headers are bad, and you don't make money, and you can't have those. I understand. No fun for anybody. But the film that they were going to preview was Lethal Weapon, the first one. Yeah. So my little 17-year-old caffeinated brain just watched that and thought it was great. Oh, man, this is all. And then we had to sit through Over the Top. Thank God it wasn't the other way around, because that would have been just horrid. So yeah, there you go. Thanks. All right, let's take a break.
Great.
Let's yeah, great is right. Let's talk about what's new and old on DVD and Blu-ray. You're listening to – shut up. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Now, could you play the real intro this time, Kobe? That was the guest intro. And by the way, this is Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can go to msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Our guests are Robert Neal from the IRT, Ray Mills and Tim Irwin from HFF and Truly Moving Pictures and, yeah, all the other syllables. Now, and we'll talk to them. We assure you. Kobe's anxious. But let's play the DVD intro, since I said before the break we're going to talk about DVDs and Blu-rays.
Okay, here we go.
Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Oh, that's, now we're back on track.
Yes, we are.
Okay, very good. And I'm also going to make short time with this because, well, one of the main titles that came out this week is Scream 4. And I have a question. Other than...
It's dumb.
No, don't foreshadow the review yet. My question is, Other than Wes Craven, Kevin Williamson, Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, and David Arquette, who asked for this? Seriously. Anybody? Did questions remain unanswered from 3? It's because nobody saw Wes Craven's films between 3 and 4. I understand that. But this goes back to the first. I was not a big fan of the first film because you can break down the if your characters break down the rules all you want and still fall into those dumb traps, you get no sympathy from me. But I would like my time and money back. But and guess what? That happens again in this one, only longer and more. And by the way, if you make fun of Saw and the torture porns, that doesn't make you a better film in and of itself. Vampire Suck made fun of Twilight. That film was hideous. And that film was hideous. So, yeah, move on, guys. Don't need a 5. Do something else.
I don't need any of them because it's scary.
You are not a scary movie person. And
I don't
actually,
like them either.
Speaking of scary movies, I'm going to make you do more work. If you go to Landmark Cinema's website, starting tonight, for the next 4 weekends, they are showing midnight movies.
And tonight,
the original 1982 John Carpenter film, The Thing. With wow. Kurt Russell, Wilford Brimley, what? That weird, freaky... No, I wish... If Adrienne Barbeau were in The Thing,
no
that'd have been...
Thing,
what was she in, though? She was the married
fog.
To him, right?
The Fog.
Yeah, she was in The Fog. She was also in Creepshow.
Are you sure she's not in there?
She's not. No, there are no women in The Thing because it's set in Antarctica.
VHS.
Because actually,
thing.
Now that you've mentioned it, I want a movie called Adrienne Barbeau in Antarctica. That would rock.
She was married to John Carpenter.
She was married to Carpenter. And at the same time... Season Hubley and Kurt Russell were married.
Oh.
But we'll talk about 70s marriages on another program. But no, you're right. You're right.
It was a different time.
But no, I want the deleted scenes with Adrienne Barbeau up in the snow. That would rule. She had twins at 50, you know. So anyway, the original John Carpenter's The Thing, and of course that's kind of foreshadowing since it's not a remake, but apparently it's a prequel as to how The Thing got there. But apparently James Arness has nothing to do with it. Thank you, film historians. So anyway, that's running, and I was 12 when I saw that in the theater, and that was some freaky stuff. That was pretty really good special effects by Rick Baker. I think he got an Oscar for that. That might have been his first. So bully for that, Kobe. I should. Too bad we can't bet. I'd make you watch that.
It's coming up though in about a month. I think.
Well, yeah, the prequel is so. But John Carpenter's is this weekend. What is next weekend? You have the page up.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I told you to do that 3 minutes ago,
no, I've got.
It's
got
so
the page.
Hard to find mediocre help these days.
Ouch! Wow. Ouch! There goes my self-esteem out the door.
I love you, son. You know that. That story's for another time.
Oh, it's about 5:28. There we go. Will you mark that time.
Will you stop fishing for sound clips and get to the Landmark page? So I
can't find the thing where it's got all the midnight things.
Scroll down to the bottom. Hi, welcome to working on the show during the show. All right, while you're doing that, I'm going to go.
Oh, my God, they're going to play Psycho.
Yes, the original Psycho, not Gus Van Sant. That
would
is,
be great.
See, that's the weekend. When are the dates on that, Kobe?
Friday and Saturday, October 21st and 22nd.
Terrific. And what's happening the weekend before?
Wow.
You actually tell us the title instead of wow, wow, wow?
I can't.
You can't find it?
Now what?
You know, I'm going to get the DVD titles while Mr. Slagle here gets his bearings on how to read a web page. So here's some titles that came out. By the way, the Sarah Palin documentary, The Undefeated, is on DVD. Let's move on. Yeah.
Audition.
Oh, Audition. The Japanese horror film Audition. Ooh, that's really freaky, Kobe. You
it's
should see
a
that.
A Japanese horror film called Audition?
Audition. Yeah.
Well, I've been in a few of those.
No, you haven't. Not these. Not these.
Horrible auditions I've been in.
Yeah, beyond horrible auditions. So, yeah, that's all we can really say. And then I think Rosemary's Baby is the weekend before
Ooh,
Halloween.
Terrific.
Kobe, am I right?
Let's keep on cruising.
Good Lord.
Keep on cruising.
Yeah.
Yep, you're right.
So there you go.
You win.
Audition, Rosemary's Baby. We have The Thing and Psycho. Go to landmarkcinemas.com. You can check it out faster than than Kobe is right now. Don't you dare answer that phone.
You know, there's nothing more exciting than listening to people surf the web on the radio. I think this, you know, this is really
Rob,
great.
These are your pledge dollars at work.
Absolutely.
So
I'm just going to check right
hard
now,
hit,
man.
Hard
I'm,
hit
who do I make it out
web
to?
Action yeah. right there. All right, so we're going to get through the DVD titles, and then we're going to talk to our guests because they've been like Mrs. Sosie's style level of patience. So here's some. Oh, by the way, Fast Five is out on DVD and Blu-ray. Let's move on. Yeah, The Undefeated, not Sarah. It is a Sarah Palin documentary, not the John Wayne Rock Hudson Western. Thank you.
Was she in that?
No, she was not.
Okay.
No, I'm not going there. All right, so here's some titles that are coming out on Blu-ray. The question is, if you own a Blu-ray player, would you buy it? Or in some cases, would you buy it again? Are there enough special features that you would want to buy this the second time? We'll start with Pulp Fiction and Jackie Brown.
Definitely,
yes. Yes.
No question.
Pulp yeah. Fiction,
at
great.
Least Pulp Fiction.
Love Pulp Fiction.
What are you talking about, at least Pulp Fiction?
Yeah, Jackie Brown is probably my favorite Quentin Tarantino film. Oh, Pam Grier's
Pulp
amazing.
Pulp Fiction is great.
Yes, it is.
Great
it
movie.
Is. Still holds yeah. up. Can't show it to the child yet. Not yet.
No.
So, but no, definitely check out Jackie Brown as well. Beauty and the Beast. Disney is now starting to do all of the 3D. Of course, Lion King is out on DVD and Blu-ray now because of the 3D release.
Beauty and the Beast will be back in theaters in 3D in February.
So they're starting to churn out the 3D things, even though James Cameron made fun of them and wanted to make Titanic in 3D. This from The Onion. Disney's still throwing word classic around like so much confetti. The Walt Disney Company referred to an obscure, unacclaimed 1944 film as a classic prior to its home video release Tuesday, once again treating the word as tinsel, which may be draped arbitrarily upon any random object. So that's fun. All right. Also on DVD and Blu-ray, American Cats. That's, of course, from the Disney Earth, the Disney Nature documentary series. Mm-hmm. Dead Alive. Early Peter Jackson. You want that.
The only good Peter Jackson.
The only good Peter Jackson. Wow. King Kong, also a good two-hour film. That's
that
three.
Is three and a quarter.
Three and a quarter. Yes, that's Zombies and a Lawnmower, if I remember correctly.
And a spoon.
And
we
a spoon. No, we won't. Just came out on TV this week, and now you can get it at home. Prohibition, the PBS documentary series.
I saw some of that.
Have it with your
good.
Favorite gin or
exactly.
vodka or distilled
yeah.
spirit.
It's good.
Cinema Paradiso.
Oh.
Which version?
The Italian version?
Both?
Well, no. I think it should be the extended version. So,
okay.
A Boy in His Movie Theater.
That's a great movie.
Great movie.
Oh, I love
great
movie.
Score. Lump in the throat every time.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to make you watch that, Kobe.
Yes, you should.
At least you looked up. That's good. Pee-wee's Big Adventure for you
yeah.
Tim Burton fans
Why
out
not?
There.
Yeah.
That's good. Life is Beautiful. For you, yes, for you Roberto Benigni Holocaust comedy drama fans.
Is Jerry Lewis in that, too?
No, that's The Day the Clown Cried,
right, yeah.
and we're never seeing that, even though everybody on Earth wants to.
Man.
Not everybody, but we do. So that's why we're jealous of Harry Shearer, because he actually did get to see it. Almost Famous, back when Kate Hudson was tolerable.
Oh, no.
Do you want to check Kate Hudson's IMDb page? That is TRBL, Sir Charles. That she's made some Jackman-like choices. No,
that's the term now.
No, it's Jackman not. Over. It's not.
She's made
far worse films than Hugh Jackman. But that's out there. Space Jam.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. How do you go wrong? Michael Jordan and Looney Tunes.
Ask the Washington Wizards how they could go wrong with Michael Jordan and the Charlotte Bobcats.
Wow.
Shall I go on? And baseball. And his ex-wife.
Minor league baseball.
Minor league baseball,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, I slam Michael Jordan too. Come get me. The Cider House Rules. Oscar-winning performance from...
Yeah.
Michael Caine. And, of course, I find it fascinating anytime I can hear Michael Caine not be Cockney.
Right.
So, and that's one
Who's
of them. Secondhand Lions, Hurry Sundown.
Who's the other actor in Cider House?
That's Tobey Maguire and
Maguire.
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, it's really
and
good.
And Delroy Lindo.
Yeah.
So that's in there. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Tim Burton version.
No. Sorry.
Wow.
Gene Wilder, I don't go beyond that for me.
Well, here's the problem. Johnny Depp doesn't berate you and then say it's a test.
But that's the beauty of it.
No, that's but
that's
not what's
real life. It's real life.
Really? You have CEOs screaming at you and then they give you the company?
Yeah.
Steve Jobs should have stayed around
longer.
That's
right, yeah. No, I just think that first one is great.
I think they each have their own strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to like both in this one. I didn't mind Johnny Depp's Marilyn Manson, Michael Jackson looking thing. And the fact that Christopher Lee plays his dad. But I, for some reason, yes, I think as a unit, the kids in the Burton version are brattier than the original. And yeah, I know that Veruca Salt's in the first film.
She's great.
She's the CC Sabathia of those kids. Okay, she's great. You know,
she's great.
No, no question. But I think the fact that, and yes, I'm actually citing the book as the source. But the fact that Charlie does not do anything bad throughout and truly earns it, as opposed to drinking the soda, messing up, and then, oh, well, he has to get screamed at, and then everything's okay. I had issues with that. I'm sorry.
I just love it.
But no, I know it's one of those, in some cases, untouchable things.
Right.
But also, Charlie's mom is Helena Bonham Carter. How cool is that?
She's married to the director. So.
Yeah, I know.
That's part of it.
This doesn't leave the studio. We know this.
Okay.
Laura Croft, Tomb Raider, and A in Flux is a double feature. Women in skin-tight clothes beating people up. A in Flux was the one. A in Flux is the one Charlize Theron did after Monster. Huh. Mm. See, look at that. Nothing, Kobe.
Where do you want to start here with Kate?
Are you? Oh, you really did look up Kate Hudson's films. All
right,
fine. Go.
Where do you want to start?
Start after Almost Famous.
After Almost Famous.
Yep.
I've never seen
Almost Famous.
You've never seen Almost Famous?
2000. I have not either.
It's really, really good.
You
probably arguably Cameron Crowe's best film.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Dr. T and the Women.
That's Altman. That's not her film.
Ricochet River.
Nobody saw that.
The Cutting Room.
Nobody saw that.
The Four Feathers.
I saw that, and that wasn't very good.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Awful. Worst film that year.
Alex and Emma.
Oh, that was bad.
Wow.
Les Divorces.
That was okay. That's Merchant Ivory.
Okay.
That's with Naomi Watts.
I love Merchant Ivory.
No pillow fight in that scene. Okay.
Raising Helen.
Bad.
I'm Still Here. Real Diaries of Young People Who Lived During the Holocaust.
Didn't see it.
Nope.
I'm not going to berate that. So.
The Skeleton Key.
Bad.
You, Me, and Dupree.
Bad.
Fool's Gold.
Bad.
My Best Friend's Girl.
Oh, God, Dane Cook and Kate Hudson? Bad.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, see?
Jeez. Bride Wars.
Terrible.
Nine.
I actually like Nine. Actually, but she has one, like, two scenes and one number, so it's not her film.
The Killer Inside Me.
That was okay.
A Little Bit of Heaven.
Nobody saw that.
Something Borrowed.
Terrible.
And coming up, working right now, The Reluctant Fundamentalist.
Ted Haggard?
Yeah. What a title. The Reluctant Fundamentalist.
So I think from my flippant reactions, she just had worse choices than Hugh Jackman. So let's move on. Final thing on the DVD Blu-ray list, Pixar Short Films Volume 1.
Ooh.
There you go. Yeah. Now, some of these you may recognize the titles, but I bet if you saw the pictures, oh, yeah, it's that one because they open with this one. Adventures of Andre and Wally B., Lux Jr., Red's Dream, Tin Toy, his favorite at our house, Knick Knack, Greer's Game, For the Birds, Mike's New Car, that's Monsters, Inc., Boundin', Jack Attack, that's the incredible film.
Yeah.
Mater and the Ghost Light, that's Larry the Cable Guy, One Man Band, and Lifted. So you can get all of those in one collection.
How is it Volume 1? Are they just waiting for the rest of their films and do Volume 2 in another 10 years?
Wouldn't you?
I would.
Okay, there we go. So, all right. You know what? Since you played the guest intro already, let's introduce our guest again.
Okay.
No, stop. Don't play it.
I'm not going to.
I know you're not. Robert Neal, actor Robert Neal, is here. He's doing I Love to Eat at the IRT as part of the Going Solo series at IRT, 3 one-people shows.
Yeah.
How are you, sir?
I'm great.
We have to say, I said it on the air.
Yes.
Loved your picture in the paper.
Right. Yeah. Larger than life, almost. Right?
Yes, you are, sir.
in my pajamas and my bald head.
And you get to play.
And it is a suit that I'm wearing. I've not
Yeah, you didn't
on
pack
70
it on.
Pounds.
I would love to give you that 70 pounds. But
I know.
In case anybody was wondering.
Right, yeah.
But you play James Beard.
Correct.
Now, for those who don't, tell us who James Beard is, because this is, if you're not watching Food Network, you have problems, but go
right.
on.
James Beard started it all when Julia Child came to New York to launch her first book. Her her editor said, "Who would you like to meet in the food world?" And she said, "Beard." She wanted to meet him.
Beard.
Yeah, Beard. That's how.
Yeah.
That's how
we
she
all
said
imitate
it. Yeah.
Julia too. We know.
And he had the first TV cooking show in 1946. If you can imagine, there were mainly TVs in bars in those days.
So it was on. It was on before Friday Night Fights.
It was. It was on after Howdy Doody and right before the Friday Night Fights, and it was 15 minutes originally, and then they extended it for a half an hour. He was not particularly good on television, which is why he didn't become the Julia Child of he kind of was stiff. He was,
but he did more cooking, I think, than Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet.
I'm sure he did. I loved that show.
I love him too.
Though,
but when my child is saying, "Daddy, he didn't cook anything in the first segment. He just drank and talked." I know, honey. Yeah. I know. Things have changed since the 70s.
Right, I know. But 70s, I do a lot of drinking.
70s was a different time.
Shut up, Kobe.
Yeah, that's true. I do a lot of drinking in the show. He was he loved Glenn Livett, but he was.
Aren't they underwriting the no?
No, they're
got to work
no,
on
it's
it.
It's too bad. Yeah, but he was about 6'4", weighed 300 pounds at his heaviest, and he started it all. This all the foodie world that you see now. He was really at the forefront of it. He was a champion ahead of his time. Champion of local fresh ingredients, cooked simply. Which I don't know why he gained all that weight after eating that way, but
well, he ate a lot of fresh local ingredients.
There are stories of him going into restaurants and like eating a full meal and then ordering it again the second time. He was an absolute sensualist. He could he had perfect palate. He could eat something and tell you what was in it or recreate it. He studied as a younger man in London to be an opera singer. He wanted to be an actor and an opera singer. He worked with Clark Gable when he was Bill Gable in Portland, Oregon, which is where James Beard grew up before he became Clark Gable. You know, he was an amazing man who had an encyclopedic mind, which is part of the play, James Still's brilliant play.
Playwright in Residence.
Yes, and he also directed it, and it was a fabulous experience all the way around. Just to, you know, I'm not a chef, but I took some cooking classes to prepare for this.
Did you learn from Chuck Goad?
No, but I did. I love Chuck, and I met with him for lunch one day just to talk about food.
Charles Goad is a local actor around town, and
he's now a chef.
I will always call him Iron Chef Goad.
That's right.
He
yeah.
deserves that title,
right.
Sort of.
But I did. I took a cooking class, several classes at a place called Kiss Ze Cook up on 116th Street to learn some knife skills. And
you have all your fingers, so you're doing okay.
I haven't lost any yet, and I do make some food in the course of the play.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What do you make?
Onions, onion rings. They're basically little onion sandwiches, just little hors d'oeuvres, canapé type things, and you just put a piece of onion between two bread slices. I make mayonnaise on stage too, which is fabulous, and you it's a really delicious sandwich. I know. It's just mayonnaise, onion, and a little bread rounds, and you roll the edge smeared with mayonnaise in parsley that I chop up, and they're quite delicious. Two audience members get to
That was gonna be my next question.
Yes.
You're gonna
are your knife skills still intact then?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you want to do, Benihana's over at your place?
It's not like Benihana. No.
When I know you're moving into a new place, Kobe, do you want him to come and cater your event? you'll get a nice meal in about 45 minutes.
Right, yeah.
Not on stage. I'm taking my time here. Onion rings for everybody.
Right, right. Yeah.
Well, cool. Good. So, and how long did you take classes?
Through the summer, I took about 4 or 5 classes, and then just did stuff at home to.
Family like that?
Yeah, actually, I've made some pretty good things, I have to say. And my wife was mad when I started rehearsal because then I stopped cooking. I didn't have time to do anything. But so everybody's eating out of bags now.
So the family's off to the side of the stage with plates.
Yeah, I go, can I have some more, sir? But, yeah, no, it's just been a great, amazing experience. It really just, to enter into that food world and learn about this incredible man. The play, like I said, James Still wrote this play. He traveled across the country to New York and California, talking to people from the James Beard Foundation, which is like the Academy Awards for the food world.
Yeah, there's if you watch Food Network, anytime James Beard is brought up, yeah, you're right. It is. Yeah. It's like a badge of honor to be.
And our opening night, the vice president of the Beard Foundation was here, as well as a man named Clark Wolf, who worked for James Beard years ago and knew him. So, that was a pretty amazing experience to meet those people. But James did an enormous amount of research, and it's just a fascinating character study about a guy who a lot of people don't know about. I didn't when I was offered the role before the play was written. Mm-hmm. I had to Google his name. And it's just opened up a whole world to me that is fascinating. And, you know, I continue, even after the show's over, I'm going to keep messing around in the kitchen.
Well, you have no choice. The family knows.
I have no choice, right? Because otherwise it's back to the
well,
bags.
Well, let me ask, of stuff you've made at home, what have you what
I'll
have
tell you
made?
The best thing, which is the James Beard recipe, is called braised sauerkraut. Now, I don't know if you like sauerkraut.
I do, but everybody around me an hour later, not so much.
Oh, no. Well, but it's just, it's so good, and it's fairly easy to make. You have to make a garni, you know, one of those with the, you make a little bag of spices. See, I'm talking like an idiot now.
No, you're fine.
I'm not a chef. Yeah, the bouquet garni, and you put it in there. So that was fun to actually do that. We actually planted an herb garden this summer, so I could, you know, play around with that stuff. It's delicious, and you serve it with whatever kind of pork. We make this pork thing in the crock pot. I'm telling you, it was killer. There he is. He's got him on his cell phone. That's James Beard.
James Beard on the cell phone, not Robert Neal.
Yeah, I'm not on the cell phone. Although that's sort of what I
We got to work on the Robert Neal app. That would rule. All things theater in Penn State.
Yeah, baby, look.
And Robert Neal is also our Orson Welles correspondent.
Love Orson Welles.
And actually, Cody, do we have the thing? I'm not kidding. I found this movie earlier this week. I like going through – occasionally I go through the occasional pawn shop because they got to have something other than 17 and again Wild Wild West on, you know, for $2. And I found this. It's a 1990 political thriller called A Hidden Agenda, and it stars Frances McDormand, Brad Dourif, and Brian Cox, and it's directed by Ken Loach. And it's the story of a woman whose fiancé is killed. He's a he works for a human rights activist, and he's killed in Northern Ireland, and it's going through the red tape, and Brian Cox is trying to help out Frances McDormand's character. I tell you all that because here's a scene with Brian Cox in a pub with two people that work in his office while working on the investigation, and you'll appreciate the name.
How'd it go? It was interesting.
You see Harris?
Yes. He didn't have the tape.
You've had a call from MI5.
The spook department. Who?
Sir Robert Neal. Wants to meet you for lunch tomorrow. Sending his car at 12. Time for a drink?
How's Brian Cox? Is he nice?
Well, you know, he's difficult to work with. Here's the fascinating thing, too. James Still wrote a play called Looking Over the President's Shoulder about a butler who worked
David
in the White House for
Anderson
years.
Was
great
in that.
Great, another great play. And in that play is mentioned another butler who you don't meet, but his name is Robert Neal.
Woo!
And I thought, quit. I thought James was, you know, using my name, but it was
right.
A real guy. There's also a wrestler named Robert Neal.
No.
Yeah, there is.
What's his wrestling name? Or
Robert
is that
Neal?
So he was a jobber.
I don't know.
No, he was not Earthquake or something. All right, Kobe, do a search of wrestler Robert Neal. I got to find this out.
He's like a wrestler or one of those real, you know, fighter guys. I don't know what they do.
Or cage fighter.
Something
or
like that. Yeah.
With their energy drinks and their texting and all that. So now the show runs through the 22nd.
October 22nd in rep with two other wonderful shows. Lost, starring Constance Macy, which is a wonderful play, and Nobody Don't Like Yogi with Mark Getzinger about Yogi Berra.
And it ain't over till it's over.
That's right. A lot of wonderful yogiisms, and it's just a wonderful festival of three different plays, one actor plays, rolling in rep at the IRT through October 22nd. Everybody, as they say, go see all three.
Yes.
But for sure, come see I Love to Eat.
Well, yes, of course. We're on that. Well, it's been cool because we've seen one-man shows, one-people shows at the IRT before, but the fact that – is this the first time that it's been a rotating of
No, it always
–
I think it's always – well, no, that's not true. I mean, the festival's like the third year, I think, that they've done this festival where they rotate.
Okay, all right. So
check IRTlive.com. You can find out all the times and days and so forth.
Here we are right here, Robert Neal at Mid-South MMA Championships.
See?
Where's your belt?
I don't know.
You need a belt. The acting culinary champion.
I might take him on.
He also goes during Connie and Mark's show and sits in the aisles and then goes, stop the play. Right. I'm going to challenge you to an act-off right here, right now. Yeah. Right now. Thank you, people who've watched pro wrestling. All right. Ray and Tim, how you guys doing over there?
Oh, good. We have a wrestling movie in the festival.
Excellent. Really?
Yeah.
Is Marissa Tomei a dancer in it? No, that's something else.
Different wrestling.
Thumbs up from Robert Neal. We can't do thumbs. That requires giving Roger Ebert money. Oh, by the way, there is a scene with Marissa Tomei and Philip Seymour Hoffman together. They do not recreate their opening scene from Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Bummer. Anyway, so how are things going over with the festival? You guys start up on the 13th, correct?
Yes, less than a week away. Wow. Well, we have filmmakers start rolling in, I think, as early as Monday. We have the most filmmakers we've ever had registered for the festival this year. We're aware of 130 who are coming to town. We're only paying for about 30 of them. So about 100 are coming on their own volition.
Yeah, because they want to see their film done and get the festival spirit. So
yeah, and it's really cool. It's just, you know, I think with Heartland, you know, our whole purpose of honoring filmmakers, it's just really great to know, you know, that we've got so many who pay for themselves to come in. So we don't take that lightly, and we're just trying to figure out how to take care of 130 people.
We're a big city. We're ready for the whole Super Bowl, so I think we can handle some filmmaking. We're not ready yet for that. That's true. But just don't take them on Georgia Street, the street known as Georgia Street.
I know. We used to live on Georgia, or we used to be on Georgia Street with our offices, but we moved to Fountain Square.
Boy, it's a good thing, man. That's some bad traffic.
Yeah. Well, we've got the cultural trail being built in front of us, but they did quite a bit of work this last week on it. So
how many films do you have?
128.
Woo!
Yeah.
And how many of those have you two seen?
I've seen about 40% of them so far.
I think I just haven't seen like 15.
Wow. So you started last year, right?
No, I started in about April is when I saw my first film.
Wow.
And the first film.
And this was out of 850 submissions.
858.
So we saw a lot that didn't even make it into the.
But you see films, so we don't have to.
Yeah. So, I guess. Yeah, Tim helps me watch a lot of the narratives. And then we have a documentary programmer now, Louise Henderson, who's just amazing.
Yes.
And then I have a shorts programmer who's helped, Julie Landrum, who I work with all of the different programmers to come up with the whole festival. I'm really excited. It's just, you know, we've been trying to make the festival more diverse in terms of the kinds of films and the genres and things like that. And I think we've really succeeded, and it's just, there's really something for everyone in there, too, you know. It's just pretty amazing.
We were talking about food movies earlier. There's a great food film in the festival called Romantics Anonymous, a French film about a shy chocolate maker who needs to go to an emotional support group, and she finds that the president of the chocolate making company also needs emotional support in a way. So there's these very shy people and some fantastic chocolate.
Does she dress like Juliette Binoche?
I would say, maybe that's just me thinking all the French women of certain age dress the same, but I would say so.
Go ahead, Kobe. That sounds like 60s pretty to you.
We're going back there.
Somebody who.
How do you spell it?
What?
Wait, who am I looking up?
Romantics Anonymous.
Yeah, Romantics Anonymous.
It was it came from the Tribeca Film Festival, so we got it.
Cool. What are some of the? I know they're like naming your children, but you know these are hard hitting questions here at NPR. Give us some other film highlights.
The wrestling movie we mentioned is called The Hammer. And it's
Fred Williamson?
No.
That documentary. Yeah. Go on.
It's based on the real life story of Matt Hamill, who's currently a UFC fighter.
Okay.
He's deaf, and he became a champion collegiate wrestler. And the film takes you through kind of what a deaf person may experience. Like, it's very interesting how they did things with the sound that make it a really fascinating film. And then the story is just a great story of overcoming, you know.
The whole thing is subtitled as well.
Very good.
We have some great quirky ones in the festival this year. There's a film about LARPers, live action role players.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds like my summer counselors at camp. That's tremendous.
That one's fun and quirky.
Now, is this like a Trekkie film where you can either appreciate it or snicker at it depending on your point of view?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so. King of Kong. Replace Trekkie with D&D fans. And there you go.
That's fine. Like D&D or King of Kong or Spellbound. It's kind of niche documentaries.
Well, there's one I don't think you've seen called The Selling, which is our one horror comedy. It's really a hilarious film about this haunted house and these real estate people who are trying to flip it. So
and we have nice. We also have Score! Exclamation mark, a hockey musical.
Yeah. Really?
It's a Canadian hockey musical.
Yes. Oh. When is and that
this,
playing?
This homeschooled kid who doesn't know anything about hockey is the best hockey player
so
ever.
So it's Hockey Tebow.
Yeah,
and he ends up having to he becomes a huge star and everything. And there's songs and Olivia Newton-John's
it's,
in it.
It's like it's all these like
get out really.
It's like, it's like burly that. Hockey players singing like indie folk kind of.
No,
songs
wait. Now that's like a hockey Canadian hockey musical serious. With Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah,
as soon
and
as it came
Nelly
in the mail,
Furtado
we sat down
shows
and
up.
It.
What?
And,
yeah,
I think they shot her
Nelly
film
Furtado is like
one day because she's
yeah,
not
I know she's always at the same place. But
I have to go see that one. We sat down as soon as it arrived at the office.
Yeah, we saw that. We saw it and we were like, we're going down.
It's called Score, a hockey musical.
Oh my!
But there's a few famous people who show up in some of our films.
Now I heard because these two have been they've been doing the talk show circuit and they were on NPR this past week
for The Way.
Yes,
Emilio Estevez and Martin Sheen, who will be here for their screening, which is Thursday, the 13th. Mm-hmm. We have two showings. The late showing I know is sold out. I don't know. There may be tickets still for the early 3:45 showing. But both Emilio and Martin will be at both showings to do a Q&A afterwards.
There you go. Very cool.
So, I'm trying to think. Then the other big name who we just found out is coming is for our closing night film, which is called Shuffle, is T.J. Tyne, who a lot of people know from Bones, the guy who works in the lab.
Right.
There, and he's going to be here for that. And I've been emailing with him and stuff. He sounds like a really fun guy. I'm really looking forward to meeting him in person.
Cool.
So,
and you're helping us get kicked off, Matthew, next Wednesday.
I did not tell him to say that. Yeah, I did, actually. But go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
We're so excited to have you. So watch carefully. It'll be a panel of experts on how to watch film from different perspective, and I don't know.
You asked me to be the
panel
film
of experts
because watch carefully seems better than what the hell's wrong with you. What do you mean? And see that? It's an allegory. Duh. See, none of those are good forum titles.
We slaved over that title.
We'll be at the downtown location of the library next Wednesday. It's a free event. It's ticketed, but it's free.
Library, if you're a Hansborough.
Library.
I think we get kicked off at 7, and we'll have you and a couple filmmakers on board, and one of our shorts programmer, actually, Julie Landrum, and I'll moderate the panel, and we'll show you guys clips and have you guys comment on what you see.
We'll see if my daughter shows up, too, because my partner, HW, for you Therapy Blood fans, because she was at the last thing I did for Heartland. She's like,
she had
a
good nap, I think, while you
yeah, because she hears daddy talking shop and you just kind of doze right off. So, well, cool. That's so, great. If people can, where can they go for more information?
Heartlandfilmfestival.org. And they're it'll say get tickets and, you know, click on that. And the entire catalog of all of our films are online. And then next week we'll have the guidebook, which I have a fake version of here, will be available on Wednesday, I think.
And then we go to IRTLive.com.
IRTLive.com, and just go to the solo series, and you can see all the times and dates for all three shows.
That's right. So, and Kobe, we'll have to get to Tommy Wiseau next week, probably. And
70s Marriages.
And 70s Marriages, right. And what Fair Seat Bianca said about Meet Me in St. Louis. And if you see me on the street, I'll tell you what it is. Because I agree with her. I would say something like that. You liked? Did you watch Meet Me in St. Louis?
I came in like middle of the way through. And
no, you didn't watch it, so you have to watch it from the beginning.
I saw
another
I saw,
film Emma's seen before you.
How was that a surprise?
Yeah. Just besting you with a 9-year-old. That's all. Because thank you, Onion article. It's true. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Here's some words to live by.
Dang it, you hit
You're
me
not.
With that.
It's 5:58. You don't know when to get the closing words.
No, you hit me with it before I was ready.
Fine.
Jeez, here
now
we
let
go.
Me try it again. Here's some words to live by. You idiot. Try it again.
Oh my god! I swear I didn't
You're
mean to
terrible.
Do that. You're
terrible.
Oh my god.
No, where are the closing words?
Silent breeze, people.
Zardoz.
has spoken.
Let's see, make Soylent Green on IRT. Oh, so, on behalf of everybody,
it's people. Maybe, it's people.
That's right. We got to work on that. Yeah. So, I'm Matthew Soucy. Thank you for listening. Pledge Drive starts Monday. If you like this. Or you want
1-800-233-0020 or pledge online at WFYI.org. Matt, what do you got for him?
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. We all do. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Go Tigers!
It's Taco Time!
And live!